This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Vegas from the biggest sports book in the world, Circa Resort and Casino. Fun 3-hour program lined up today. Great guest. Been a minute. But Stevie the Pencil on the program in 30 minutes. Richie Baccellari, longtime Las Vegas odds maker, Pauly. He loves the trash that we have on the board tonight, as he has called it in the past. Adam Burke, phenomenal write-ups every day on the website here at VSiN. In an hour, his best bets in college basketball. Paul Charchian, news every day in the National Football League. Best bets with Steve Wiss in soccer coming up back end of the show as well. So coming up in 30 minutes, this game will start, and I'm going to say like 99% going to finish. By the time the show is done, that's at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 out here on the West Coast. It is the Missouri Valley, so there's definitely some strong betting trends for this conference. And the number, Pauly, the total has been all over the map. Some books you said opened up eyes 143?
Yeah.
I saw some of the biggest offshore books open 130.5, 139. Then what, down to 135?
Yep. Buyback happened about an hour ago, 2 hours ago. Back up to 139 in some spots. That's at Caesars.
So I saw it started to tick up at some offshore books right away this morning at about 6:45 Pacific time. Would that be an indication that the initial new move was a head fake to get it down as far as they could and then to start going over the total?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's, if I got an 8-point middle, I got to take advantage of it. But it also was, the comeback is no matter what number they put up, they're going to bet under. That's the other thing.
Pretty much.
You know, because I tweeted that out and Fezzik responded, it's a bad job by the bookmakers because everyone knows about all these unders in the Missouri Valley. But my comeback is no matter what number you put up, they're probably going to bet under, as everyone's been talking about this for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
10 straight tournament games have gone under. It's 17-5 the last 2 years. And since 2015, it's the number 2 conference in all of college basketball with the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
All unders.
So I'll give you another one. Over the last 10 years, Pauly, totals of 131.5 or higher, 46 and 22 under, 68%.
Damn. So this was an 8-point move. The middle game is a 4-point move. The last game is a 6.5-point move. Evansville and Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, and also Richie B coming up, what if all these games go under? Are we going to have 9-point moves? Are we going to have 8-point moves? Is this going to continue? Because everyone's going to be, hey, 13 in a row or 12 straight unders, under in the Missouri Valley, under. I mean, if this continues, how much under action are we going to see with, and how much these numbers are going to move? Because I was sitting at the screen looking at, like, when's the buyback coming? If you went under 143 and now it's 135. And
well,
it finally happened about an hour ago and now it's up to 138 everywhere.
So our producer, Luke, he might be on to the angle 2.0. 3-0 last night with totals, and that was, again, using three different projection sites, Bart Torvik, Eric Haslam, and Greg Peterson right here at vsin.com. And those totals all cashed when there was, what, Luke, about a 5-7-point difference, all of them? Yep, 5-point difference or more in the totals. They all got there. And I'll tell you this right now. So the Drake-Southern Illinois game starting again in about 27 minutes, give or take. The first game that they played, the total closed at 144. The second time they played, it closed at 149.5. That one stayed way under. The first game went over. Torvik has this total at 144. Haslam, 143.5. G-Unit, 141. So I know we've been saying this for like five years now. Like, at what point are the totals going to be so low that there's going to be value on the over? Those three sites have that game, the middle game, and the late game tonight all going over.
So it's how problematic is that shooting background with Arch Madness and the Enterprise Center? That's the other question, because it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
So if it's been an ATM machine, and I don't know if this number is real, but I saw a 155 tomorrow in the 4-5 game with Murray State. Well, based on history, you can't put up a total there. I don't care what the pace is.
Right.
And that's the comeback, too, that Belmont and Murray State get up and go and they can score. But going back since 2015... you cannot put up a total that high in this conference tournament based on this has been a rock fight going back and what these have looked like in 10 straight unders last year.
Sure.
After the first game of the tournament went over. Well, but I remember talking about this with Dave Malinsky. Rest in peace. I mean, and
it goes back to FBAR, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And he's been gone since 2018. And so I tweeted out Steve Mackinnon's story at vsin.com. You have to go check it out. It's up and available, and it's on the website. I tweeted it out a couple of different times. And I said, some of these numbers are insane. Good tweet from Jar Alerts. What stood out to him was how these mid-major formats keep producing the same behaviors. Different teams, here's the key point, I think. Different teams every year, but the structure keeps pushing the same edges to the surface. And Steve Mackinnon replied to that, and he said, I totally agree with that. It's different teams, different coaches, different players, but why does it continue to happen over and over and over again?
You're right, and also the Metro Atlantic, which I was stunned by that.
The Summit, another one.
Yes, 13-3 the last couple years. Right. But I would think the Metro Atlantic was more high-flying, high-scoring, faster pace, and they have more unders since 2015 than the Missouri Valley. They're number one with a bullet. Thanks to Evan Abrams for that. I retweeted it.
Remind people what happened last year in this tournament, Paulie. The first game went over, and then it was all pretty much dead unders after that.
Yes.
So this game in particular again.
That's why it's fascinating if we get three straight unders out of the gates.
Well,
like how much will this stuff move? Because professionals bet numbers, but the recreational players bet teams and bet trends and this kind of stuff. Everyone will be well aware of it. Hey, that's 13 unders in a row.
Yeah.
The number's 136. Okay, I don't care.
You know what this is going to be like a little bit? It's going to be buyer's remorse for those who don't do it. It's going to be a little bit. And you were on it last night again. I was not. I told you I was scared of a couple of teams in the 76ers, but we're very lucky to win that game. It's kind of like the money line parlay right now in the NBA. Do you just fire it out automatically every single day? Because if you don't and it wins, you're going to be mad at yourself. Like, is there a way? Like, and again, we're going to be on the air for this entire first game. You're going to be kicking yourself if you don't have like a full game under, or if you don't have it tied into the other. Do you want to do a three-team round robin today? All unders?
Well, the other thing is, if we're all thinking alike, we're not thinking.
You see the
8-point move originally, and then the buyback late. I mean, that's also the same thing about, it feels like the angle. Once word got out about the angle and it hit 10 in a row, then it became so popular. That's like, let me jump in. And then, you know, the three straight losers.
Of course.
In spectacular fashion as well. So it'll be fun to monitor while we're on there, and we got four more games tomorrow too. But I can tell you, I will predict whatever number they put up for the Belmont game tomorrow morning and the 4-5 game with Murray State will be too high.
Fair enough.
And they will hound that. Now, can we get a birdie here on 18 for Eric Barnes?
That's the other story going on
Good
right
guy.
Now too.
Bartender, Cheesecake Factory, nice guy, tight friends with Jeff Seeley. He bogeyed 14. He was 3-under. This guy was in 9th place at the Puerto Rico Open.
Yeah, I can't get an update. He's been on 18 now for a while.
If he birdies, he's tied for 9th place. Yeah. Tell people what this stuff paid.
Okay, so when Jeff Seeley came on yesterday, he couldn't believe it. He finished second a couple years ago here. He was 3,500-1 to win it. He was 33-1 top 20. That's, I shop around, right?
Yeah.
Because... I saw 5,000-1 to win it.
Yes.
Okay. And then also,
that was at Caesars.
This is from Donnie in Cincinnati. Fanatics, are you ready for this? A guy who finished second a couple years ago at this tournament. Fanatics had 200-1 top 10 and 60-1 top 20. Now, I've never bet at Fanatics. They're not out here in the state. I have no idea what they're, but does it matter? Even if you get down a little chump change on that. Little pocket change, digging the couch, whatever you throw. Jeff said he put $5 on the outright to win 17,000.
Yeah.
Those numbers add up quickly.
Sure. Yeah.
200-1 top 10?
This is juicy if he can birdie 18. It's unfortunate he had the bogey on 14. This is great.
Yeah.
So you got the highs and lows. You got what's going on with Barnes. And if he can birdie 18, and then you got Tottenham getting drilled at home against Crystal Palace. It's a mass exodus. Fans are leaving the arena.
What were they before the game?
I'll look in a second, but it's perfect timing with Meat Man coming up.
Plus 135.
So they're only 1 point in safety here. They got Nottingham Forest and West Ham breathing down their necks. This could be the biggest story ever, maybe in relegation if this happens. They could get relegated. Mm. They're only 1 point clear right now. And they're getting drilled 3-1 at home. So This will be perfect timing with Meatman and perfect timing with Charge about what the Vikings are going to do with quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to point this out, too, by the way, because this game, again, is starting in 20 minutes. We'll track it live from a betting standpoint throughout the show. They're not as bad as Kansas City last night,
yeah,
who got blasted again, unfortunately. They I wish they played more games, because I pointed out yesterday that Oral Roberts was going to destroy that team, and they did, second time in the last couple of days. Drake in this game coming up in 20 minutes, Paulie, 9-20 ATS on the year, fifth worst in the entire country. Again, they split in the regular season. Drake won the first game here back in January, the middle of that month, 76-73, and went over the total. But Southern Illinois got revenge when they were laying 1.5, 66-61. Valpo also swept Indiana State. You have double revenge there. And Northern Iowa is a popular team to win this thing at about plus 425 or plus 450. They're a huge favorite. This game could be, honestly, if they want to shut it down, this could be like 65-40 today.
Yep.
I have no interest in the over of that game.
Yep. Evansville's dreadful. Good name there scoring that one.
Yep.
I'm with you.
We also have the West Coast beginning tonight. Now, we do have a total tonight in the 150s. VSiN.com, again, more Mackin in here. Totals of 147 or higher in this conference. Over the total, 27-12-1, 69% going back, averaging almost 157 points per game. Win some, lose some is coming up next. How about one of the worst teams in the entire country shocking their opponent as huge dogs last night? Paulie with the details here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Big fan of our next guest. It's been a minute. Longtime Las Vegas odds maker. He loves college football, loves college basketball. He's Stevie the Pencil. Richie Baccellari joins the program now. Good to see you, my man. How are you?
Guys, nice to be here and nice to see you guys. My favorite degenerates.
You do all your work in pencil. So what do you have here? How many tablets do you have with us? How many notebooks do you have filled with your notes and numbers?
I brought a fresh pad for you guys today, but usually I just do it on the green bar paper, the accounting paper. When I buy the paper, I always tell them I'm a big accountant around town.
And all I close.
Do is handicap the hoops on it. But you got to write it all down. It's, you know, Saturday's a light day this week, 92 games. But every Saturday for the last 7 weeks, 140-plus games. I mean, how do you do it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's begin with the games that we have tonight. I think we have like 45 games today overall. It's the Missouri Valley. This game is starting pretty much right now. Drake takes on Southern Illinois. We're talking about the big talking point here, Richie, with the Missouri Valley, obviously, is the totals. It's been a gold mine now going back a good decade. What's going on with this total in this game, though, today here?
Well, you know, it started out, it moved down 2 or 3 points, I think, and then we were just looking at it, you know, before it starts. It's like up to like 40.5. At post, is that right?
49? It opened 41. 143. It got as low as 135. It's up to 141.
Yeah. If 43, though, was at a very limited market.
Yeah.
I think by the time Chris put it up, it was like 37.5. So they pounded it down. You know, we've talked about this before. You never know what they're doing with these games, these numbers. Limited market means you can move the market for nickels and dimes. You can move it 2 points or 3 points. You never know what they're doing.
Yeah, okay.
But
hold
the
on.
Unders, the unders are like 60. Plus percent, 65% under in this tournament in the last 10 years or so.
Right, there you go. But also it's 10 in a row, and it's 17-5 the last 2 years.
Wow, look at this guy. Missed the stat.
Well, everyone knows this, though, now.
Of course.
So what happens if we see a run on unders to start this thing, then? So what do you do with your number, then?
Well, I don't do the totals, So I don't handicap him. But this one came in about low 40s for me. But, you know, again, I thought I was terrible at it because it went down to, like, you know, like you said, 37. But it came back up again. So. Uh-huh.
I want to ask you this then. So what you said there was a key point, right? Overnights, you're betting a nickel, maybe a dime, some spots. You're going to move it a couple points, whatever. And then when the points or when the total moved again today, that's when the limits are going to start to go up. Is it possible last night was a head fake on this game to drive it down as low as possible?
It's very possible because all the late money came in on the over, and that's when there's the most markets available for you to go out and play. So it looks like over was the side. I don't know. 37 seemed a little low. If I made it low 40s and it opened, whatever, 43, it does get a point where the other side becomes play. I mean, they're just going to have to know what that point is.
Yeah, right.
You like the dog in this game?
No, I actually laid a little four on the bye.
Okay.
I had to jump in, mostly a bet against Drake, but something ain't too bad.
Okay, how about let's get into trash. Evansville's terrible. How about the late game, Evansville and Northern Iowa, 133 down to 126.5.
Wow, love it, love it. Didn't look at that total, but I did make a play on the doggy.
Oh, you did?
Loved the doggy.
What? The dog? It's, get out of here.
Yeah, I took 15 this morning.
Okay.
You know, they got beat twice. I love it. You know, that's
double
okay.
Revenge.
Yeah. Last game of the year, most likely, for Evansville. So they're gonna give you some kind of effort. And most importantly, if you're taking, you know, 15 points and the total's in the high 20s, the game figures to be in the 50s, low 60s. So covering 15 has a slight edge, taking double digits on the total on a game that's, you know, the total's in the 20s.
Evansville, yeah, in those two games, they scored 48 the first game.
Yeah.
But that number was 5 at the time, Northern Iowa, now triple that at 15. But they did cover. They lost by 14. In the next game, they were catching 11.5. They didn't cover that game, but they only scored 55 there.
Yeah, well,
what's their team total in this game?
Well, you probably hit it on the head, right? I mean, it's to make a team total, what you do is you deduct the game total by two,
divide it by two.
And then split the point spread in half and take it off each side. So if it's one, if the spread's 14 and 128, so it's 64 less 7. So it's 57.
Points,
right where they're at.
There you go. Good math.
How about the middle game? Good job. The middle game. Valpo swept Indiana.
Man, you just love this conference. Jeez.
Well, it's coming up right now.
All tickets cash the same here, buddy.
Made Valpo 1.5. Didn't look at it too much after that. Would have taken like 3.5 with Indy State. They got a kid out, you know, 24 minutes, a minutes guy. I don't know if he's in or not. You know, the players don't really mean a whole lot. Starters pick up the extra minutes in spots like this. But I didn't play him.
All right. No play there. Do you have anything in the Sun Belt? All these games are played in Pensacola. Adam Burke here, he's coming up, by the way, in about 25 minutes. He has a play tonight on James Madison. They're laying about 1.5 in Southern Miss last check.
Well, the back-to-backs ain't too good. You know, when you're going back-to-back and you're playing on consecutive days, it's not really faring too well. And that goes back to the early season tournaments in November. I've got Madison 1.5 and didn't do anything with it. Looking at the Ark State game, I did lay 6.5. I did go against the back-to-back there, so I played Ark State.
That's got a super high total, by the way. I think it's, 167.5?
Yes.
Yeah, I think yesterday these games, where are they playing, Pensacola or something?
Yeah, yep.
Pensacola. I think they both went over yesterday. I kind of looked for that. But the 67, it just seems high. I'm not crazy about the total either. Once again, I don't do totals. You know, I dig into the sides, but not the totals. Too much work.
What do your power ratings look like at the top of college basketball with Duke, Florida, Michigan, Arizona, and then Michigan? They're favored. They're laying right now 8.5 at Iowa tonight. Any opinion on that game?
Yeah, I was looking to play Iowa plus 10. I'll probably be a degenerate like you guys and take, is it still 9? Can I still get 9? Maybe, can you give me 9?
Yes.
Can you give me 9?
Paul will give me 9.
9? Yeah, I take the points. I mean, conference games, you know, I was, you know, still fighting for their lives for this tournament thing. So it's good. It's good taking 9 points at home. But
I'll give you 9 minus 20.
Wow, you're going to make me lay 6-5.
What do you
Everybody
think?
Uses is minus 120. I hear people say, oh, it's minus 8,000. I tell them I don't even know what that means. 180. You know, you're laying 1 to 80. You're laying 80 to make 1. I mean, it's minus 8,000 stuff. Novices. novices.
What was there any games with big differences between your numbers and what the market has?
Yeah, one game that, you know, I played North Dakota State. That game went from 10 to 12. I made that game 15.
Okay.
And that was, we talked a little bit about, I guess it was Oral Roberts.
Yep.
The other game was Morgan, an extra game against Coppin.
Oh, Hoops now, Peterson's
now,
on that.
This game,
okay.
This game really hasn't moved too much. Now, it doesn't mean anything yet, but mm-hmm. I would expect the game to have moved up. I made it 10. And Coppin has been, I hate, it's funny to say it, slightly improved. I mean, they won a couple of games down the stretch, and they definitely, slightly better. It was good for the program.
Does that mean before they won those games, his number for you would have been like 12 or so?
I moved them. I moved Coppin up about a half a point. Okay. But I've been riding Morgan all year. You know, they're 1-2 in the conference. I mean, this Howard looks good. This Howard looks good.
Paul's cousin.
Yeah.
Paulie Howard.
Paulie Howard,
how about
yeah.
Mo Howard?
Hoops,
hey, Mo.
Hoops makes Morgan State 11.5 in the game.
I made it 10.
Wow.
So that's a match.
Okay.
Now, once again, when you got a couple of handicappers out there, what you do is you say, hey, who you like. When you match up, it's supposed to be a play. Usually when I match up with people, it goes up in flames.
Well, let me ask a question about that, because last night we saw it again, and Matt Youmans now this year specifically has been I don't know, not agitated, but he's like, don't be afraid of this team when it goes against you, right? And last night was a good example. He was on the air. We both bet Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Detroit get bet down to like a pick'em in that game last night?
I don't know. Don't know. I noticed that, though. I was on Detroit.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And so, when you see that and this team goes against you, does that set off an alarm?
Not at all. I mean, people are betting numbers. They're betting, what their algorithms are saying, but... You know, the people got feel. You know, you watch these games all year long, and you got a feel for how a team's going to play.
Damn
Detroit's
right.
Someone I've been riding.
Yeah.
I've been riding Morgan. I was riding for a long time Navy.
Oh, how good have they been?
You know, fantastic. Short-term, North Florida. I passed them yesterday. I passed the loser. Nothing better than passing a loser.
It's a good feeling.
You want to bet the loser. Say, yeah, you know what? I don't trust them today. And then they lose, and you go, wow, it's beautiful. So you're doing your work.
Do you like that feeling better than being on the right side?
No, I want to win money.
Okay, all right, yes.
I want to win money.
Speaking of feel, you talked to Alan Boston. You like anything?
I love Alan. Alan's great. There's nobody can handicap or analyze games like this guy. He had a great run this year. I think this week he's kind of fighting a little bit, you know, because it's a fight every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today's 123 days of college basketball. Imagine doing that every day. All day long for 4 months.
That's a grind.
So he's struggling, I think, a little bit yesterday, but he'll bounce back. He's great, probably the best college basketball handicapper that you're going to meet individual-wise.
You know? He's
been doing it 30 years.
Isn't he the best of all time?
Best individual
handicapper
individual,
ever?
Because, you know, you got the groups and
sure.
You had the computer programs back in the 90s. You know, the guys they knew all the injuries and got all the newspapers. Alan was a one-man crew.
Yeah.
So he's great. Fantastic feel for games, and the way even after the game's over when he analyzes the movie. Couldn't figure out yesterday.
Hold that thought, because we got to come back here. More with Richie Bacciolieri and some of these other mid-majors going on starting tonight.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. You have one game going on right now. Arch Madness 747 in the first half. Drake leads Southern Illinois 14-13. Updated total.
Good start.
130.5. That closed at 141. First half total is 54.5. I just played that under.
That's another good angle, too. Just play these first halves under. Don't have to worry about the scramble points and the crap at the end. With
yeah,
the
that's
fouling.
Right. So they got to get 28 more points to beat me here. I don't know about that.
Yeah, let's make it 11 in a row.
Adam Burke joins the program now, does a great job every single day on vsin.com. He is the managing editor of the website, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Hey, Adam, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good, man. It's a busy time of year, right? MLB guy just went out. We're previewing all 31 conference tournaments over there at vsin.com. Busy time of year, but you got to love it with so much basketball all day long.
No doubt. I thought you had a brilliant like take and a great catch by you on a game late tonight. It's UC Riverside at Hawaii. Now, it's a big number here for Hawaii to be laying. Riverside also stinks, but tell the audience why you like the favorite here in this game tonight.
Yeah, so I think there's something that we need to pay attention to here late in the season, and it's, you know, conference tournament formats, right? Does everybody qualify for the conference tournament? If they don't, are they playing, you know, in hopes that they make it, or are they already eliminated? In this case, UC Riverside already eliminated from the Big West Conference Tournament. They will not qualify. They're one of the bottom three teams by a pretty decent margin in that conference tournament. So they go out to Hawaii tonight. This will be the last regular season game, the last game of the season for UC Riverside. They rallied at home. They played a really good game against Cal State Northridge last time out, but now they're on the road in Paradise in a game that does not matter to them whatsoever. Whereas Hawaii is a team playing for the number one seed in the Big West Conference. When these two teams played in Riverside earlier this year, Hawaii won 88-45. Just a complete dominant performance from them. I would expect the same here tonight. I don't think that the Highlanders are treating this like a business trip, and Hawaii actually has something to play for. So I laid the 11.5 here in this one. And look, I mean, if it doesn't come through, it doesn't come through. But I think there's some pretty strong situational angles here in this game. Not to mention, Hawaii is just the better team all around.
Okay. We went against Holy Cross the other day. They were down 5 at the half and rallied to beat Lafayette. How about let's go against Holy Cross again, and we got a 3-hour bus ride in between this too?
Yeah, so I'm taking Lehigh in this one against Holy Cross. Holy Cross upset Lafayette on the road in the 10-7 game here in the Patriot League. Now they take on Lehigh, who's actually the number 2 seed in this conference. Look, I mean, this is a team that's really, really good at the free throw line, almost 82% during conference play, which matters when you talk about a spread in the 5.5-6 point range, because you're right in that fouling range, especially when you talk about conference tournaments. Players, teams want to extend the season as long as they possibly can, you know, try to extend that clock, give themselves as many chances as possible. So if you got a team that can put things away at the free throw line and do really well there, I think that's something you want to take a look at here during conference tournaments as well. But Holy Cross is just, they're not a good team, right? I mean, they beat Lafayette, very surprising offensive performance out of them. In fact, it was Holy Cross's best performance of the season in points per possession on offense. That's probably not going to happen again here against Lehigh. Lehigh's at home. They're a good three-point shooting team. Like I said, they can salt this one away at the free throw line as well. Not to mention, Holy Cross just played a road game and then had a travel day and then now play another game in the conference tournament, and Lehigh is very well rested. So I like the Mountain Hawks here. I know this line's come down to 5.5, and I think I even saw 5 at some places. I don't get the line move on Holy Cross. I like Lehigh, and people out there are getting a better number than I got at -6.5 this morning.
Okay, let's get into James Madison and Southern Miss. Now, the Dukes did play a game last night. They won. They beat Louisiana by 15, 87-72. There's always a conversation to be had. Is that a bad thing? The team that has the bye week, so to speak, or they've been on rest, is that beneficial to them as opposed to a team that played last night and they maybe look good and they want to keep that momentum going, so to speak? But you like James Madison here. Why is that?
Yeah, so you got to take this on a case-by-case basis, I think, right? Just because a team played the night before doesn't mean that they're not going to have legs, doesn't mean that they're not going to go out there and play well. If a team plays an overtime game or has to come back in the second half, spend a ton of energy, something like that, it's a different story than when a team wins the game the night before by 15 points and can kind of spread out the playing time and stuff like that. In this instance as well, in a neutral site down in Pensacola, I like the fact that James Madison's played a game. Right, they've gotten to go out on the floor. They've gotten familiar with the floor, familiar with the lighting and the sight lines and all these things that can be really tricky when you're playing a neutral site tournament like this. Southern Miss didn't have that luxury. Southern Miss has not gotten the jitters out from playing in the conference tournament yet. I think it's a benefit for James Madison that they played last night. I think they're also the better coached team with Preston Spradlin here. And frankly, they're just a better team too. You know, I mean, this is a team that was, you know, tops in the conference in effective field goal percentage defense. They were second in effective field goal percentage offense. Truth be told, they underperformed during the regular season from a wins and losses standpoint. Maybe now is when you kind of see them play like the team that they should be. So I do like them as a short favorite here in this one tonight against Southern Miss. We'll see how long they can hang in the Sun Belt tournament playing back-to-back days. But I do like the Dukes here tonight, -1.5 against Southern Miss.
You want to get in front of Michigan tonight, 8.5 against Iowa?
I don't know if I ever really want to get in front of Michigan. I don't think I'm ever running to the window to bet against them. But Iowa is a team that, you know, I mean, like they always are, very, very good offensively. They take great care of the basketball. They also force more turnovers this season than they usually do. So, you know, when they're getting points at home and, you know, 3-4 possessions, something like that, I would lean that way towards Iowa. But like I said, I'm not in a rush to, you know, fade Michigan pretty much ever.
Got to get up to the website every day. Adam Burke, Colin doing an excellent job with every conference preview that's up there. Picks and previews every single day. They do an incredible job. What can you state your case for people who missed it and in your explanation on why you like the Mets and why Soto with the second overall pick in our draft for MVP?
Yeah, so I did the MLB Futures draft a couple days ago, and I mean, part of that was game theory, right? There's only a handful of guys that can win the MVP in either league. Frankly, there might be two or three in each league at most. So I wanted to take the guy who's second on the board, a guy who almost had a 40-40 season last year in Juan Soto, where, look, I get it, right? Shohei Ohtani's a unicorn. We will never see, in all likelihood, a player like him ever again, right? I mean, what he does hitting 40-plus homers, what he does as a pitcher, it's simply phenomenal. Maybe there's a little bit of voter fatigue there, but also I think this is the year that the Mets actually do break through, do win the National League East. I'm down on the Braves. I'm really down on the Phillies. Their season win total under was another one of my picks in that futures draft. So a little bit of correlation here where if the Mets are going to be really good, Juan Soto is going to be really good. And Juan Soto was really good last year, but his overall WAR numbers, wins above replacement player, were down a little bit because he was so bad defensively. Now they're moving him from right field over to left field. Should be a little bit easier for him to play. Should kind of help his overall value look a little bit stronger. And I mean, 38 stolen bases last year. And that's a really, really big uptick from what he normally does. I think the power will still be there. Elite on base percentage guy. I think the team around him is better this season too. And I think the situation for them is better as well. So I think Soto's got a great shot to win MVP. And I thought plus 750, you know, taking that shot in a draft where hitting a decent price is going to make a huge difference. That's one of the main reasons why I took Soto.
We had a suggestion from a viewer last week that said one of these books will need to offer right now in both leagues, winner without MVP markets, meaning winner without Shohei and winner without Aaron Judge. Because, I mean, look at what Raleigh did last year, and he couldn't even win the award.
Yeah, no, it's a really fair point, right? I mean, again, like, by the time Ohtani racks up 550 plate appearances and does what he does there, if he pitches even an inning, right, it's something special. It's something that makes him kind of the most valuable player. But again, I think people may be a little bit disenfranchised with the Dodgers getting Kyle Tucker, getting Edwin Diaz, spending all this money again, being the root cause of why we're probably going to have a labor stoppage after the season. So maybe voters are going to be like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of the Dodgers. I got a little bit of fatigue for voting for Shohei. Here's this Juan Soto guy who hit 40 home runs and stole 30 bases on a team that won its division. Maybe I'll vote for him. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for here. Cause again, I mean, Ohtani theoretically should be your MVP every single year.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. We started college basketball. We'll close there as well with maybe an outright winner or two for some of these conference tournaments. Let's go Big Sky here. Portland State, they were one of the best covering teams in the country the entire year. They won the league at 13-5 in conference, but they're not the favorite. The short shot here is Montana State. Who do you like in this conference?
Yeah, I like Montana, actually, in this conference, the 4 seed. It was 7-1 when I wrote up the preview over at vsin.com. This is a very, very high-variance conference tournament. These teams play very, very different styles. There's not a whole lot of defense being played in this conference. Portland State was the best defensive team in the conference, as you mentioned, but they were terrible on offense. They just were not a good offensive team, and you still got to make shots, you know, to win in these conference tournaments in these neutral settings. I didn't really want to go up against Montana State, Eastern Washington, and Weber State, because I think that could kind of break any number of ways. And when you talk about, you know, playing futures in these conference tournaments, that's something you have to think about. You know, which side of the bracket do you want to attack? Which path looks a little bit easier? That's a big one for me in the CAA, where I took UNC Wilmington, because I think the other three best teams in the conference are Charleston, Hofstra, and William & Mary. And they're all grouped together there as 2, 3, and 6 seeds.
Yeah.
So you have to decide which side of the bracket you want to attack. For me in the Big Sky, I thought it was going after Portland State, who, again, very good defensively, but they can go through some offensive droughts. And Montana, another one of those teams like James Madison I mentioned earlier, their statistical profile in conference play suggests that they should have had a better record than they did. And maybe now when the rubber meets the road in the conference tournament, that's exactly what will happen.
Man, you do such a great job every single day on the website with the daily write-ups. And also the betting guide with Jensen Lewis was so good. And you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Go check out the guide as well. That's a la carte. And if you want to get that, it's $19.99. And you can follow Adam on X. He's at Skating Tripods. Adam, great to talk to you. Thanks for the time. Best of luck tonight.
Absolutely, boys. Have a good one.
He was on the Progressive guest line there. I love the breakdown with Riverside against Hawaii. Even if it loses, that's where it's such a great angle. On Hawaii has either playing for the one seed, Riverside cannot, they didn't qualify for the conference tournament, and now they're on the island, probably vacationing rather than like going there on business.
They're on 11-1 over team total too. Yep. Riverside's been scoring.
NBA next, the money line parlay cashed again last night. Are we going to go back to war with it again tonight?
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Money. That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching the program today on YouTube TV, listening SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Busy hour coming up. The Meat Man Steve Wiss, Best Bets in Soccer, our in-pocket plays 45 minutes from right now. And we begin the hour by going out to the Progressive guest line. Our buddy, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian, joins the program. Hey, Charch, good to talk to you, my man. How are you?
I'm delighted that we have had that much time away from each other. Yeah. I was getting a little twitchy because I hadn't had my Mitch and Pauly in like 3-4 weeks. And so it feels good.
It
feels natural.
It does. Yeah. It feels really nice right now.
Good timing.
Where do the Minnesota Vikings stand as we speak with quarterback J.J. McCarthy?
The belief is that they can no longer put faith in McCarthy to develop and that they have to have a far better plan of action and presumably a new starter for next year. That doesn't mean I don't believe that they're going to go full Trey Lance on J.J. McCarthy. I don't think they're going to pull the ripcord and just call it a disaster and ship him off. I do believe that he will be on roster, but the likelihood of being the starter right now for next season seems very low. The team has openly said they're looking at every available quarterback option. You know, they're saying the things you never say out loud if you've got a presumed starter already on your roster. And everything I'm hearing is that they're going to give McCarthy more time to bake as a backup, reevaluate where they are a year from now. Somebody else will be the starter this coming season.
Okay, so you've been on KFan, you've been talking to the fans, and you know people in the organization. You also had the timing the other day with Kyler Murray. Let's start with Kyler Murray. Yes, can it happen?
Well, it can happen. I mean, the case for Kyler Murray is, I'm going to give you a couple of bullet points. Mitch and Pauly. During Kyler Murray's seven-year Arizona tenure, he missed 30 games for the Cardinals. Would you care to guess how many wins the Cardinals had in those 30 non-Kyler Murray starts?
6.
Pauly?
11.
5.
Oh, boy.
I mean, and what that suggests is that it wasn't all on Kyler Murray. I mean, the Cardinals are a broken organization. It's possible that nobody was going to succeed over these 7 years that Kyler Murray was there. It reportedly, he really wants to play for the Vikings. Vikings are his top choice for Kyler Murray. And it makes sense. You get Kevin O'Connell, you get Justin Jefferson. There's a lot of reasons to come to Minnesota and not a lot of pressure from J.J. McCarthy in all probability. You can see a reclamation project for Kyler Murray. You take a one-year prove-it deal, just like Sam Darnold did. You have an explosive season and a far better offense and a better organization, and good things would happen for Kyler Murray. The case against Murray goes like this. Jacoby Brissett was way better in the Cardinals' offense this year. He averaged 90 more passing yards per game and almost a full passing touchdown per game, more than Kyler Murray, and that's Jacoby Brissett, a career journeyman. Michael Wilson exploded with Brissett, not Kyler Murray. And the other thing about Murray that worries me a little bit, dude's been surrounded by good receiving talent.
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, Zach Ertz, Marquise Brown, Christian Kirk, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, it's not like he can just go, well, I didn't have anybody to throw to for 7 years. He did, and Murray just doesn't feel like a winner. But Sam Darnold didn't feel like a winner either, and he led to 14 wins. If I had to pick one guy right now to land on the Vikings, it would be Kyler Murray.
What's the response of the fans been to Kirk Cousins talk?
Well, not great. I mean, you know, most of the fan base was happy to see him go. They made the right decision coming off that Achilles injury, even though, as I like to remind people, because I was a Kirk jerk, when Kirk Cousins went down with that Achilles injury, he was leading the NFL in passing yards, and he was tied for second in passing touchdowns. I mean, he was playing great. Then the Achilles happens, goes to Atlanta. Michael Penix takes over midseason, had a bad year. Then Kirk, of course, looked, I thought, better this year. But here's where Kirk, this is why you can't go in on Kirk and why I don't think the Vikings should do it. The arm's dead. The arm is just not the same. Here's, let me give you some deep ball, one deep ball passing stat. On passes last year of more than 20 yards, Kirk Cousins completed 28%.
Ooh.
Second lowest in the league. Just the arm strength is just not there for Kirk Cousins. And I don't think it's coming back at now at his advanced age. So I do not believe we're going to see a reunion in Minnesota.
Do you like the idea? And is there anything to this potential trade with the 49ers to get Mac Jones?
Yes, there is something there. Now, fascinating, the Vikings' last general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who was the Vikings' general manager for 4 years, he's now in the San Francisco front office. So if part of the Vikings need to engineer a trade for Mac Jones, they're going to be doing it with his replacement general manager, interim of general manager for the Vikings, Rob Brzezinski, trying to negotiate in part with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who just was the Vikings general manager, and put them in a position where they have to go look at a guy like Mac Jones. You know, I don't have to tell your astute viewers and listeners, Mac Jones played shockingly well when surrounded by all of the things that you get with the Kyle Shanahan system. And the hope here would be that he could perform at a similar level with Kevin O'Connell. Dude was an absolute baller, gamer, played very, very well for the 49ers. And, you know, it might just be that he was a guy that needed the right system and needed some time. And, you know, he'll be a viable option for teams that are looking for help. And the Vikings will be interested here.
Could they trade for C.J. Stroud?
Well, this is a little off radar, right? I mean, if Houston is willing to move Stroud, if they're willing to move Stroud, it's kind of a condemnation by itself of Stroud. If, you know, Houston knows him better than anybody, if they're willing to move him, but I would be very interested. You know, Stroud's play, his rookie year was one of the best rookie years we've ever seen. The 2 years since then for C.J. Stroud, he's had terrible offensive lines that have gotten him killed. So I think there's a lot of things that have to come together before you could get C.J. Stroud. And I don't know where Houston would go for a quarterback. Then they'd be looking at all the same thing the Vikings are. I don't see it as likely, but man, if I were the Vikings, that'd be pretty tantalizing given what C.J. Stroud has accomplished.
It's a pipe dream for this team to go out there and acquire Joe Burrow via trade, is it not?
I can't imagine it would happen. It would take so much equity, but I mean, if they could, yeah. God, that'd be amazing. But I know there's talk about that, but I think that's mostly fan talk.
What's this car out of retirement for the right place, the right situation?
Well, I think that's a possibility. In your case for Carr, it looks like this: terrible organization for his entire career with the Raiders. Then he goes to the Saints when they were really at a dip and a nadir of their abilities post Peyton. You know, you can put him in the right situation and feel like he could be much better. You worry a little bit about anybody that's been away from the game as long as he has, but you know, he had some good seasons. He was just—you just don't feel like Derek Carr was ever a winner who could will his team to victories. But you know, you're the Vikings. You're looking under every rock, and unfortunately, he's got to be somebody you consider as well.
All right, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. What did you make of the Montgomery trade to Houston and what that means for Gibbs?
Well, first of all, good for the Lions, you know, for managing to wring some trade value out of David Montgomery, 29 years old at this point. And when you're, you know, he's right at that cliff of competency of where running backs really fall off. And Montgomery was quasi-benched for the second half of the season. You know, I still think Montgomery's a pretty good player. Goes to Houston now, where he's going to be part of a 1-2 punch there, and much like what they had with the Lions. I feel like if you're Houston, why are you trading for a guy that you knew was on the outs with the Lions, who may very well have just been a cap casualty? I don't know why you had to give up any equity, let around a fourth round pick to get David Montgomery. Brad Holmes is a great general manager. He's one of the three best general managers in the league, and kudos to them on this move. I still like David Montgomery, but if you can get real value, like a fourth round pick for your second running back. That's, you know, and a guy you might cut anyway. I mean, what a great move. Brad Holmes is fantastic.
You called your shot in the summertime with us on this show, and your favorite prop was JSN to go over his receiving yards. Do you want to call your shot right now? Does Jahmyr Gibbs win Offensive Player of the Year?
Well, let's see who they team him up with. Right now, for Jahmyr Gibbs, as like, you know, the workhorse back on a Lions offense, I'm really interested. You can make a case right now that Jahmyr Gibbs should be the first player taken in fantasy drafts today. You know, right now. And by the way, people are drafting right now. It's happening all the time in best ball leagues. This is, you know, the hardcores are drafting now, yep, well in advance of everybody else. And by the way, this is how you win big tournaments, is you get, you know, you're way ahead of everybody else. Drafting now makes a ton of sense. You know, if Gibbs is going to be the singular focus at the running back position, he's going to get 70% of the snaps. Man, you know, we're talking about already one of the most gifted players in the league. And if he's going to get all the goal line work that was going to Montgomery when they had a split role near inside the five, you know, you don't have any threat from your quarterback in Detroit stealing touchdowns. I mean, Gibbs could be sitting on a 20 touchdown season. It would not be out of consideration, you know, but, you know, we'll see how the offseason and the draft lands. I suspect they'll put somebody else to get hard yards to replace David Montgomery. But based on where we are right now today, not knowing, that's Jahmyr Gibbs looks like an absolute fantasy force.
Yeah. Okay. How about a minute left? What'd you think of DJ Moore to the Bills?
Love it for both teams. This is one of the rare times you feel like everybody wins. So, you know, the Bills are just trying to keep that window open. They need receiver help. They've proven they can't draft it. They haven't been able to acquire it in trade. They haven't been able to sign the right free agent. So you go get a guy who's a proven contributor, somebody that's still very good for DJ Moore. But I think the real story here is the Bears get a second rounder, mm-hmm, and they get out of $40 million in guaranteed money for a 29-year-old receiver, and they can do it because they've drafted so well. Rome Odunze, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland now get freed up, right? You got all these new targets. They hit on all three of the draft. They all look fantastic, and now you've got that many more balls to go around with the DJ Moore out and now him in Buffalo. Those three guys are just going to feast, and it's a great move for both teams.
Yeah, love it. I really love it for the Bears. Follow him on X at Paul Charchian. Good to catch up, my man. Well, we'll talk soon again, okay?
Thanks, friends.
Thank you, buddy.
He was on the Progressive Guest Line. I have updated odds for 15 teams on the bubble to make the tournament. Uh-oh, big move on Miami.